I'm here backstage with Jonathan Leshnoff and Ricardo Morales, and we're about to hear Jonathan's concerto that he wrote for Ricardo, and we're going to find out more about this exciting new work. Ricardo, you're about to step on stage and give a world premiere of an important new work written just for you. Now, I think we'd all love to know, as an artist, what it's like to commission a big piece like this, especially in partnership with the Philadelphia Orchestra, which has such a rich tradition of commissions and world premieres. Just tell me your first reaction when the orchestra first approached you about commissioning for this concert, and how did you take it from there?
Well, for me, it was a great, great honor. Obviously, it's something that doesn't happen every day, and it's something that it is absolutely historic, and it's a great opportunity for me and the selected composer to just add something new. Well, me for interpretation, but to find a person that would add something significant to the clarinet repertoire and to just bring the art forward. So it was a very exciting moment, and also one that had to be selected with care and enthusiasm.
Yes, it had to be a perfect match in a way. So what was it about Jonathan's music that drew you, and how did you first become familiar with his work?
Actually, the first time I heard his music was right here in the Philadelphia Orchestra. My colleague Jeffrey Kaner was doing the premiere of Jonathan's flute concerto. And I remember that I was not playing the piece. And, you know, I love Jeff's playing always. So the first rehearsal, I just had to go and I showed up to hear the piece. And it just started and my jaw dropped. I was like in awe of the beautiful music. And of course, he's playing, but I just was so moved. I got teary-eyed. It was really great. And, you know, I'm always an admirer and lover of all things Jeff. You know, I'm always like the opposite coin brother. You know, he's tall and handsome. I'm a little bit round and, well, not so handsome. You know? So, but I'm always like trying to copycat him, you know, in terms of phrasing and things like that. And when I heard that, I literally ran on stage after the at the break, and I just told him, oh, it's fantastic. I need one. I want one just like that. So it was a great, great pleasure. And actually, it was a very perfect time because Jonathan was there also. So I got to meet him then and we just took it from there.
Oh, that's a fantastic. And it is such a beautiful concerto. And we'll get more into your work a little bit later, Jonathan. But since Ricardo mentioned the flute concerto, I just wanted to say you've written a lot of concertos already. You have quite a lot in your catalog, 2 violin concertos, a cello concerto, a guitar concerto. Tell me how writing for clarinet and Ricardo in particular was different than writing for some of these other instruments.
Yes. In order to write a concerto, I have to become that instrument. Like when I write a symphony, the music goes through me right to the orchestra. But when I write a concerto, I have to go through me, through the soloist, and then through the orchestra. The clarinet's such a fantastic instrument because unlike the guitar or even the violin, which those instruments are outside the body and are connected by the fingers externally, the clarinet is connected by the breath. And that has something to do with the inner essence of the player being expressed right in the instrument. And that's why it's such an honor and wonderful opportunity, really a highlight in my life, to work with Ricardo, who is once in a generation clarinetist. The way that he phrases the long lyrical lines in the first movement, to me as the composer, is just stunning and wonderful.
So you were trying to highlight Ricardo's unique artistry with his breath work and his lyricism. Anything else?
Yes, those aspects on the slower lyrical side, but also his virtuosity on the second movement. He himself, even virtuoso Ricardo, will tell you himself, as the many cell phone calls I get, say, oh, you know, 625 measures of repeated notes might be a little bit too long. And I say, Ricardo, you could do it. He goes, all right, man, I'll try it.
Yes. It was always very fun. Sometimes I would have to call, just trying to find permission to get a tacit measure here or there. And Jonathan was always just a coach. Come on, you can do it. And then it would just take me about 5 seconds. Yes, of course. Let's go.
So he gave you a few pep talks along the way.
And just courage, the courage to keep plowing through the work.
Sometimes that's all we need, a little courage.
Yeah.
Jonathan, you're having a mind-boggling season of important premieres. two symphonies, your second violin concerto, this clarinet concerto for Ricardo, and a big oratorio, which is being premiered by the Atlanta Symphony and taken to Carnegie Hall. Do you mind telling us a little bit about your creative process when you have so many commissions to fulfill and, frankly, big, long pieces to compose? Do you work on one after the other, or do you sometimes have two projects going at the same time, and do you get any sleep?
Well, these days I say, I don't have time for inspiration. Too many deadlines. No, that's a joke. It's very interesting because when these commissions started to come in, my first reaction was, it's impossible. No. But I realized that there was a higher force behind there which really wanted to make me grow. Because when presented with these challenges, we always say, no, can't do it. But I learned that to suddenly become the music and really be courageous to say what I really want to say allowed the music to come forth. And certainly it was a tremendous amount of effort. There was a lot of sleep which should have been had and didn't. But it inspired in me, it showed me that I had lines and ideas that could come out and could come out with fluency if I just believed in myself. So the answer to your question is that all of these insurmountable challenges became possible when I realized that, yes, just believe in yourself and do it.
So you were giving yourself a lot of pep talks as well.
Absolutely.
Along these lines, it almost sounds as if you feel there's a spiritual or mystical force working through you for your compositions. And I notice the subtitle of your concerto is Nekudim. Does that have a spiritual connotation?
Yes, you're right in your assumption. Thank you for catching that. Nekudim actually means points, and it actually has to refer to the Hebrew alphabet. In the Hebrew alphabet, the letters are just consonants, like B, G, D. In order to give the letter any type of direction, it needs a vowel, which are notated by lines and dots, nikudim, dots, underneath the notes. So the G becomes ga, gu, ge. And the idea is that the letter itself is like a dead body. It just exists on its own, but doesn't do anything. It requires the breath to make that letter alive. And that's what's going on here in this concerto, on a spiritual sense and also on a practical sense, on a spiritual sense. The lines are written there, and I know what they sound like, but whenever they're performed by Ricardo or the Philadelphia Orchestra, suddenly they take on a light and life that I've never thought that was there, and I wrote it, which means I didn't write it, you see? Because if it could have life beyond what I thought, then it's really not mine to begin with. And on a practical sense, this is really because of Ricardo and Maestro Yannick and the Philadelphia Orchestra, because only with musicians of that caliber can the line arise and become itself. I'd also want to point out that this clarinet concerto was also co-commissioned by the Santa Barbara Symphony and its music director, Nir Cabaretti.
So really, the interpretive art is just as important to you as the compositional or the creative art, a real partnership between both performer and composer. For both of you, is there anything special you'd like our listeners to be really listening for as they're experiencing this concerto for the first time? Ricardo?
I think that what I try to emulate and what I get from the music is a vision of hope and an openness of the heart and mind to the possibilities of something more than just regular life, that there's some transcendence in our being, especially the book and the slow parts certainly bring that forth. And then in the faster movement, just much more of juxtaposing that with the earthiness of humanity and the fun of just being human and just that experience and how both of them complement each other.
And Jonathan?
I know exactly what I was thinking when I wrote it, but that doesn't mean anything. Because in all my music, it's only what the listener and the performer thinks that matters. If I take someone on a journey, then I've done my job. Where they go, that's up to them.
Okay. I just have one final question. You're both teachers. Jonathan, you're a professor at Towson University, and Ricardo, you teach both at Temple and online, I noticed.
Yes.
Is there any important musical message or gift you'd like to give to your students that they go away with after they've studied with you, and really to music students everywhere? What's the most important thing you think that learning music gives to people? Jonathan, we'll start with you.
That you can change the world.
I'm passing through a lesson that I learned from my first line of teacher, which was that you have to try as hard as you can to have a noble heart and an open and giving heart. Because my teacher would say, you have to grow to be a noble person, because if you're not, how can you ever play with nobility? And it's a task that is an ongoing project. I'm not there yet, but it's something that I always, every day, it's an opportunity to strive for being a better person so that then you can project that as a human being and through the music.
Thank you so much. Such incredible, noble sentiments. I'm so excited to hear this piece. Congratulations to both of you. Best of luck. Muchas gracias y le deseo mucha suerte.
Muchas gracias. Okay, let's go.
Let's do it.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.